Game day for the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. It's the Leaf Hour edition of our program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Can we get these games over with?
Which games?
What's left in the season?
Really?
I'm yeah.
Ready for playoffs?
Or vacation, one of the two.
I will say, first off, it throws me off having the Blair Barker turnover because I spend a few minutes talking to those guys about baseball, and then we got 9 seconds before we come on air. So I feel a little flustered.
We got the baseball guys back.
Which is awesome.
We've got home opener Thursday, 3 p.m.
Yeah.
On this very network.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's excited.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like the rush coming in here.
It's tough.
Kicking the baseball guys out so we can get in.
And then the other thing is, these games that you're referring to are playoff games.
That you want to fast forward through.
We're at the best part of the year. We're here.
Are we?
Oh, buddy, tonight is so important.
I'm so unexcited about tonight.
What?
Yeah.
Here's my thing on the Leafs right now.
The Leafs are good.
No, but here's the thing about the Leafs being good. They're not good enough that I'm confident they can beat Florida or Tampa in the first round handily.
Okay.
So they're bad enough that they have to win so they don't have to play them.
Which is fine. So Philly's bad. Are they bad now?
They just lost to Nashville.
What are we looking at? 6-2 tonight?
For who?
I believe.
You even have to ask.
They just lost 5-2 to Nashville.
They suck.
I believe the Flyers just lost 7-4 to the Blackhawks at some point.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Come on, you're at home.
This team,
one should be a feel-good 60-minute, kind of like Calgary. I expect a game like Calgary last week.
So let me ask you this.
Nashville needs 5 points to catch Philly.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I saw today, forget where I saw it, but it was the percentages of the first round matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I love this. What do you got?
It was 38.
Toronto and Ottawa.
38.8% Ottawa. 38.8% Tampa Bay. And 17% Florida.
And that adds up to about 100.
Is that right?
No, I don't know. Whatever. It's close enough.
Are you sure? Like, you know, everyone's saying, oh, yeah, Ottawa. You're wishing for Ottawa. Ottawa has won 5 straight hockey games against the Toronto Maple Leafs and has owned them for quite some time here.
That's
even
fine.
Even when the Sens
You
suck.
Can say all the things you want about fearing Ottawa. You want Ottawa.
You do.
I'm past.
For sure.
I'm past all of that. Whoever it is, I don't know if it matters anymore.
Well, because you're going to lose to all of them?
No.
Because they're going to beat all of them? Because it might matter.
You got to play well at the right time.
Yes.
And Tampa Bay, Ottawa, like, when was the last time they beat Ottawa?
I don't know. It's been 5 games. So 5 games ago.
I guess I'm the only guy who watches hockey.
So
is that it? You guys aren't familiar with how hockey works?
They haven't beaten Ottawa in a year plus, and you want Ottawa really badly for the Leafs.
Is it? Am I the only one who's watched this? Florida won the cup last year. Do you guys catch that?
They're beating up on the blue line. They're hanging on.
Oh, my God.
Are they getting?
What? No.
Are they getting?
Tampa Bay's a plus 55 goal differential.
Are they getting Matt Tkachuk back?
I don't know that.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
The voice of God, a.k.a. Jake Schultz, said December 7th, 2023 was the last time
that
the Toronto
doesn't make you nervous at all for the Leafs to play Ottawa?
Well, listen, yeah, nervous, of course.
Okay.
We're choosing an opponent. Who do you think they have the best chance to beat?
Okay.
Themselves is the answer.
Dad, thanks, Dad.
Sure, Kevin.
You give it to me. Who do you want them to play?
Anybody,
now, don't tell me why they're going to lose to all three.
If they're playing well, if they finally get their lines going.
They'll beat any of them.
They can, and they get the goaltending that we've seen at the highest point.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can beat anybody in that division.
I think they can too.
But that's a big if. Those are a lot of ifs.
Okay. Pessimistic Leaf fan Sammy, which has come out a lot over the past 4 years in this show.
So also not the question you were asked, but okay.
But you're asking me who I'd rather face?
Yes.
Technically Ottawa. Technically.
Okay. That's all we wanted.
I also do feel that they're in really tough to beat any of those three teams. And if they're going to lose in the first round, I would much rather just beat a Tampa or Florida. because I can accept that thing.
I have never heard a bigger losery thing to say than...
Who do you think I cheer for, buddy?
Then I don't even want to play the softer opponent because it'll hurt more. So just give me the tough guy that everyone thinks is tough.
I'd rather know the bully, right?
Oh, my God.
Totally.
I want to get beat up by the same bully. I don't need a new bully.
Yeah, great. Just add it to another notch to Leaf fans taking a beating spell. Not blowing a 3-1 lead to the crappy Habs wasn't bad enough. Losing to Columbus.
Thank
losing
God
to Boston
you don't get
every
to
year.
Play. Emotional smokes. Damage.
But no, but like there is part of that where I think the Leafs would probably beat Ottawa. I think there's a chance they would beat Ottawa for sure. But I also think the risk of playing against them
your
and
humiliation
losing
factor.
Is way worse than all just right. getting done with Florida or Tampa in the first.
See, he's maybe already Bammy, played the series,
you
and now he's just worried about.
They've lost to
Twitter.
All of them. Which one hurts
he's,
the most?
He's worried about social media and all the Ottawa fans just sticking
just
it to him.
Try to win a series,
okay?
Let's try to win. Jay, try to focus on tonight.
Start with that.
Start with
the Scott Laughton Bowl.
Good game by Scott Laughton against his former team. Is there anything better than what he needs now is to face his former team? Is that a good thing, or is it does it pour gasoline on the fire?
I think it's the best thing to get it over with and get it out of the way and rip the Band-Aid off so we can move on. Yeah, he liked Philly. He was a great guy. He took the trainers out and the equipment staff out, and everyone loves him. Great. Let's play Philly. Everyone have their hugs and tears, and then can we get playing good for Toronto?
All right, let's have... Let's have the man of the hour tonight lead off our first Kippers Clipper of the show.
Scott Laughton.
Yeah, talked about it last yesterday after practice, but yeah, it's going to be different looking at the pre-scout, and I'm in some of the clips, so definitely a little weird, but we'll take it as it goes and get a good sleep in this afternoon and get back on track here.
Okay.
He's in the pre-scouts.
I want to be clear that I love Scott Laughton and I want him to have success here. He seems like an awesome guy.
Good sense of humor.
Good sense of humor. Everyone likes this guy, myself included. Okay.
We're talking about it way too much. Way too much. Like the clips, they didn't even ask Berube who's starting tonight. They didn't ask if Ben Waugh's going or who's playing or anything. Like, it was five questions about Scott Laughton. And it's just...
I was reading about his cats today at one point.
This is why people don't want to play here. This is exactly it. Because you come here and you're a shiny new toy underneath all the core guys. And it's a two-week cyclone of people talking about how much you suck. It is.
Do you think
can
it's
be.
Insane? You like think, we're you, he's a third line winger.
Do you think if he scored
center.
If
whatever
if he's plus four now in the eight games that he's played and he's got like 3 or 4 points and Carlo struggled, we'd be having this conversation if they were playing the Boston Bruins with Carlo?
Yeah.
Do you really believe that?
Well, why would Laughton be any different?
I don't know. Because there's just a different vibe for a different player.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that we'd ever be focusing on Carlo as much as we are Laughton.
Carlo was more expensive. It would be a bigger deal if he was stinky.
Yeah, but he's been exactly as advertised.
Yes.
Just not flashy, really nice. Just like a solid right shot, big guy D-man. Like nothing crazy, just exactly what you signed up for.
And I'm not sure anybody really truly knew what you were signing up for with Scott Laughton. I to this day, he's... How many goals does he have this year?
11.
Okay. 4 of them in one game. So he's probably closer to a 5 to 8 goal scorer this year than he is a 15.
I forgot he had 4 in one game. How did that happen?
Think about that for a second. Without that game, he's got 7 goals.
Well, yeah, but
so
that
where is the true expectation? So he's played the last little while, and the Leafs have not been very good. They've spent a lot of time in their own zone, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden he's now a part of that. But everybody thinks this guy has just been no good since the trade, and it's like, well, what were you truly expecting?
Yeah, but Kip, you can't. It's not like this is good for Scott Laughton. It's not like if you said to Scott Laughton, how have you played as a Leaf? He'd be like, this is what I am. He'd be like, not good.
I get the not good. What I get What I don't get is, to Sammy's point, is like, why like seven questions to the guy? Mm-hmm. Why, where can we not, where else can you go on a question? Well, why five to this guy?
Why do you think he is so featured?
It could be a Toronto thing. Yeah. It could be a bringing a guy home here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's the way the media works around here, man. They're just attracted to negativity.
Wow. Wow.
All right. I'm just saying we're part of
what?
Noise.
I ain't going to throw stones from my glass house here, Kipper. We're part of the deal here. We got to be self-aware. We're part of the deal.
I'm with you guys.
Okay, man. Good. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Now let's listen to two clips about Scott Laughton from Craig Berube.
I can admit I can be negative sometimes.
Yeah.
Or I'm attracted to rubbernecking on the Don Valley Parkway.
Tough not to look.
Yeah, it's right? My turn to look. I'm going to look.
You're going to look.
I've already waited.
You're going to look. And depending on how much blood there is.
Oh, my God.
How long the stare is.
Oh, my God.
But it is. It's just, it's one of those stories that, unfortunately, is growing legs every game he doesn't score.
Yeah.
He needs one to go in and to find a role and to find a role for this game to pass, and then for us to just like not be like the number one conversation that it's been.
As soon as he can get rid of that feeling, like get that spotlight off of me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he goes into tonight's game with his former team. And it's shining bright on him right now. So you're right. The moment he feels like, can I just be one of 20 guys on this team?
So I tried to cook up a third line that would be useful to the Leafs, could hang with Paul and Bjorkstrand, could hang with Luostarinen and Lundell. And so I took the best wing pieces away from the core four. What about a Nyes, McMahon, Lawton line? So Lawton in the middle. Nyes and McMahon as the wings. That feels like a line that could forecheck, hit, score a bit.
Domi, Matthews.
Yep, Marner. And then you could...
Tavares, Nylander.
And then
Holmberg?
Pacioretty, Yarncroc.
Holmberg,
you know, something like that. I know that's not ideal, but it's not ideal. You don't have enough guys for it to be ideal. Unless Patches comes back. He's been there and been fine.
Just you were talking about being one of the guys and just kind of being part of that. Actually, we don't really need to listen to Berube's clips a lot. We can if you want. But Torts held court for, I think, 9 minutes this morning. And he had a really great clip on Lawton. So
nine minutes in Toronto.
Yeah.
That's short.
Doesn't he know the guys like just Maurice nine, and Cooper come here and give a half
on
hour?
On the biggest media stage the planet.
He loves
just
it.
Nine minutes.
All these guys love it.
I love the guy.
They love coming here and just getting to wax poetic to the listeners.
All right, let's have a listen.
The clip's good.
Well, Scotty was one of those, the way I can explain him, he's just full of just the glue of a locker room. I think that's really important, especially where we're at as an organization and trying to build, to have that foundation guy, to understand just the small things before you even get on the ice, to help kind of transport that over to our younger guys. I thought he was very important that way. So, you know, it's hard for him. I know it's been a little bit of an adjustment for him here. You with one organization for your whole career, drafted and all that, and going through all the crap we've gone through there, to come here, I know in talking to him, he's just trying to keep his head down and trying to fit in, where when he'd walk into the locker room in Philly, he'd take it over. So, there's an adjustment period for him. I hope people are patient with him because it's a huge adjustment for him, but you're going to find out what he's about eventually here.
You know, it's tough to avoid the fact that everyone who's ever crossed this guy's path says that sort of things about
him. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's one of the big reasons I want to play it. Like, everyone just has nothing but fantastic things to say.
Can he get to that point where he walks into a Toronto Maple Leaf dressing room and takes it over, like Torts just said he did in Philly?
No.
I can't see it.
Not this year. Next year, you know, he's back. Maybe he signs another contract or something. Like, he can get there. I think Jake McCabe went through that experience where you can't come in and be that guy. There's a culture in the room already.
Yeah. But I don't think it's possible, not only for Scott or anyone, to do that and play 11 minutes a game.
Yeah.
To take over a locker room. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is really hard.
Well, it's like when Andrew Ferentz was the captain of the Oilers, and it was like he was a great guy and people loved him, but eventually when you're the seventh D, it gets hard.
Was he?
Eventually. Eventually.
Yeah, but he went through stretches with either Boston or Edmonton. I think he played 18 minutes,
for
20
sure.
minutes.
Yep.
But he hasn't really, I think they've given him one game with over 15 minutes, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if they can still find a way to make this work in terms of that third line center where he was pegged and where they had the need pegged all season long, then there's a chance that he can walk in that room and feeling a lot more like it, the old days in Philly for him.
And that's why I'm trying to build the third line where, you know, Domi Robertson is a tough pair to get, right? That is not a defense first line. Where do you play them? Offense, you're going to put the top two lines in on the ice. Like, it kind of feels like you're lost there. And he's playing wing tonight with Domi in the middle and Robertson. I don't get what he's going to do with that line. I hope he has a great night and, you know, things go well, but it still feels like not where he's going to play in playoffs. As I see it.
Yeah.
All right.
So we don't want to do the Berube on
that. I mean, touch
had enough lot.
I mean, 16 minutes, a lot.
That's a lot.
Was Berube on still the effects of Saturday night and coming in with some purpose tonight?
Because after the game on Saturday, Tavares said that they were, you know, they should be pissed off or whatever. And then they asked him about that today. And his answer was actually, he got into an exchange with Mark Masters because Mark Masters said, Tavares said that you guys were PO'd after the game. He's like, what? What does that mean? I believe it was Terry Koshin said, pissed off. So it was a pretty good exchange. But then this is his answer.
They're not allowed to say that at TSN. Yeah.
Anyways, this is the answer when he got asked about them being pissed off after Saturday. Clip number
one.
Clip number one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they are upset about it, for sure. You know, coming out of the first, like, talking about the game, coming out of the first period, we're up 2-0. We're in good shape, almost make it 3-0. But, you know, it's a learning lesson, in my opinion, that you can't, you know, get impatient in your game and, you know, get away from your game, and that's what we did in the second period. And next thing you know, we're down 3-2. So, yeah, nobody's happy about it.
So the last time they were pissed off was before the Calgary game, where you compared tonight to that. Like, maybe they'll come out with the same sort of intensity or urgency, but
just feel like they just won three in a row prior to the Nashville one. It kind of felt like, it's too bad. I don't know. Mm.
I don't know, five or six in a row coming off the break and then losing and then winning and then losing.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of stuff that he's talking about is just self-inflicted, right? Which probably is the worst thing, is that you can go, okay, well, like, why is McCabe pinching here? Or why is Morgan, you know, skating
his mental mistakes.
Why is he not in a position to skate backwards to defend? Like, that to me is that might be the biggest concern right now, is why, when we should be tightening it up as we go for a division title here, are we allowing ourselves to have these mental breakdowns?
It's funny, right? Because, you know, for a long time, I'm trying to think of the numbers, but a long time they were I think they were the last team to blow a lead, were they not? Like, with a lead going into the third period, they had held on to them.
It was the Sharks.
That's right. They blew it to the Sharks. Mm-hmm. And then they've blown a few leads along that stretch of losses. So,
yeah,
you kind of want to return to your roots a little bit there. That, you know, get some great goaltending, that could go a long way.
You know, the other problem is, and I know it's a broken record here, but it's just the teams that come in here and have that window, and Tortorella started it off with his 9-minute press conference today, and every player knows that they can make a statement here in Toronto. It's well watched, it's well listened, it's well talked about. Like, that's, it's just an ongoing thing that Leaf teams have to deal with. But there's a very good chance you'll get whatever is a better version of the Philadelphia Flyers tonight than you've seen probably in the last 2-3 weeks.
You know, if you want to spin this positively, it could be a good thing for a team to get the best of everyone all year long. You would think they wouldn't be surprised come playoffs when you're getting teams playing hard and working at it. I mean, sure, be prepared for that. That's fine.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the Flyers.
How much do you start getting into kind of playoff mode?
Well, like I said, their effort and their competitiveness and their pressure, I mean, they come. It's like they're coming with five guys all over the ice, and you gotta fight for your ice against them, and, you know, they're going to give everything they got. All John Tortorella's teams play hard, and they compete hard, and they're coming, you know, with pressure.
This is not a very good hockey team.
But,
you look at the lines.
Don't even look at him. Like, try to think of, four guys on their team up front.
You know, funny you said that, because I was going through it, and I was like, Ollie Lixell, Rodrigo Aboles, Igor Connecting, Zamola, we know. Emil Andre.
Sean Couturier, we know.
Yeah, I mean, Mishkov.
We know, is a rookie, a potential rookie of the year, but outside of that, it's like...
Sanheim, Canadian hero for the Canadians at the Four Nations face-off.
That's right.
You gave me one defenseman.
Yeah.
Right. We know Jamie Drysdale because he made a big trade there with one of their young players.
So I think the guy that's in the crosshairs most of Leaf fans, and it's Morgan Rielly. And I wanted to ask you guys a question about something we talked about on Leafs Talk a little bit. But first question, do you believe that there is a switch that's going to get flipped once the playoffs start? That's the first question.
I am not a flip-switching guy.
Okay.
I think that he can find it down the stretch. You know, he had that run of play prior to the Four Nations where it was like, oh, right, that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can find it in time for playoffs. I actually think that Carlo gives him the best chance at finding it.
There's another way of saying that. I really hope he does.
Yeah.
It's really not much different.
Yeah, no, right?
That's all you can do is that there's no other choice. You're married to the guy. He's still going to get his 20 minutes, no matter sometimes how bad they look. And you can just hope that you're going to get that version.
But to be clear, in playoffs, this hope thing is real. Like, you know, Florida's hoping to get back Tkachuk and what's his name? The D-man there with the drugs.
Ekblad.
That's a nice way to put it.
Hoping to get him back. They're, you know, Dallas wants to get Seguin back, and they want to get healthy.
Rantanen's not putting up points.
Right. Like, everyone is hoping it comes together at the right time. So even the best teams, hope is part of the plan.
Okay. Second part of that question. In your world where the switch doesn't get flipped.
Yeah.
You mentioned he's a 20-minute a night guy. Does he have to be? Like, can you... Once the playoffs start and you're not thinking about contracts, you're not thinking about roles, you're thinking about trying to win hockey games.
Yeah.
Like, is it possible that he's in the 14-15 range instead of the 23-24?
Not on this team.
But you've seen when they've gone up with Tanev and McCabe against other teams, they've played 23, they've played 24. They're the guys who play the most minutes. I don't know. You can't let it kill you in the playoffs.
I do believe that what you're saying isn't necessarily wrong, but it's a process I would have liked to seen started in October and built towards in March and April.
Okay.
I can't see you now starting to give him some hard lessons on earned ice time.
But it's not about lessons.
Then what is it then?
It's just about winning and losing.
But there's so many dynamics that come with benching a guy.
Well, Sam's not calling it benching so much as using him less.
Using him less.
But when you go from 22 minutes to 15, it's a bench.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, there's no other way any player will ever take that. The less you use me, I'm benched.
But you look in his last five games, three of the five, he's under 20 minutes, right? He played 24-28 against Nashville. You're chasing the game at the end of that one. Against Ottawa, he plays 22-42. But in the other ones, 19-39, 18-15, 19-20. Feels like they're kind of, I don't know, just you never would have seen those numbers in years past with them. It's just food for thought.
The other thing is that if you do give him less minutes, if he's less impactful, what's left to look like him to your opponents? Like who's threatening to come up on a play? Jake McCabe's tried it a couple times. He's gotten burned. Like at the end of the day, hey, Jake, you are a defender, okay? And you do it very well. You think he's got room to be this offensive guy for you?
I think he can have a flair to him.
And now we got to find it in 10 games?
No, he's shown, you know, he had 8 goals last year. His first playoff year, he was very good offensively, but you remember what happened? He crushed a couple of guys, got distracted, and then...
A bit squirrely.
Yeah,
got squirrely. I'd rather have really good, steady Jake.
Yeah, I'd rather ask him to be that
than
too.
A guy that kind of gets caught between should I go or should I stay. I think that's been a bit of an issue mm-hmm. the last little while with him. Sometimes these bad pinches.
I think more than anything with this conversation, I don't know that one is right and one is wrong, but I think you need to give him clarity. Am I a D who can go? Do I have a green light or do you want me to hang back? He needs clarity.
What we do know is it ain't Carlo. It ain't Tanev.
Which is why
right?
It should be McKay.
Benoit. I think at times Ekman-Larsson tries.
Yeah, he can go.
But there was a time where we thought Ekman-Larsson was this offensive machine when he signed in Arizona.
Oh, well, yeah.
For his $8 million. And this guy's a top five, top six defenseman. He's in for Norris's and he can score 15, 20 goals. And it's like.
He was unbelievable early in his career. He was a really good offensive player.
He was heading towards there, Sammy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ended up not being that guy.
You know what's funny, though, is he has ended up being a much more solid defensive presence than I think people anticipated him being.
And tougher.
Yeah. Like he just...
We didn't talk about toughness with him in Phoenix, Arizona.
Even if it's not toughness, at least it's grease. Like, he's just not afraid to give a guy a little...
But I don't want him taking chances either.
No, yeah, you got to let some guys go. You can't tie them all to the goalpost.
You let Morgan go.
Just Morgan?
Yeah, but then that's why you...
That's why you got to go to him for 20 minutes.
Okay.
But also, if you don't use him 20 minutes and you say, you know, we want you just to be this like 15-minute-a-night guy, you become essentially like Domi as a forward where I'm not sure what the use case is.
Okay.
What zone am I putting him out? What game state?
That's fair.
Yeah.
But it's just, if he looks like this in the first round and he's playing 21 minutes a night, he's going to kill you. So.
That's 21 and not.
Yeah.
Like it's just
no power play time either.
No. Yeah.
Right?
I mean he gets the 25 seconds of
15.
Yeah.
But that to me is the biggest concern where if the flip doesn't switch and they keep treating him like he's 2021, 2022 Riley, and it just doesn't go great. So anyway, I didn't want to mean to beat that horse.
No, it's a good conversation. Yeah. It is one that people are having.
I was gonna ask you about that. They'd alter at practice this morning. Just play the clip, and we'll talk about it after. Clip 5.
How much do you start getting into kind of playoff mode? Like, the guys are not on the ice again for an optional. Like, is it just about conserving energy whenever you can get it between now and the postseason?
A lot of travel, you know, and hockey, obviously, but a lot of travel with us in the last month, I'd say. A lot of travel, and we're heading out again tomorrow. We had a good practice yesterday, you know, 30 minutes or more and, you know, pretty good pace out there. So I don't think there's any need for anybody to go on the ice this morning. Yeah, if they want to go touch it up, goalies like to get some shots, whatever. But we're going to need the energy tonight in the game.
Does it mean anything?
I think there's a real concerted effort down the stretch to be on the ice as little as possible. Just knowing the abuse that starts.
Okay.
It builds up over the year and starts.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering, because I thought it was an interesting line of questioning, and I had never thought of it, but I don't know. Like, did you, like, I mean, I don't know what you guys skate in the morning, but it seems like it'd be great to skate in the morning before you play.
Yeah. You want to preserve your big boys, the 20-minute guys, Matthews, mm-hmm. Marner, like, Nyes is in that. He's in that now. He's playing 19, 20 minutes a night.
He had some quotes recently, though, that were pretty impressive to me, where he talked about, you know, having come a long way from when he first came in the league and having learned from Tavares. And he said recently, he said, I feel refreshed. I feel better than I have in past years at this time of year, which I think is a bright spot.
It's everything from here on in is between the ears,
mm-hmm.
right? You can convince yourself that
so true.
Going on the ice or not going on the ice, small margin, but how I prepare, how I'm in that moment once mm-hmm. puck drops at 7 p.m. is all that matters. And then to Nyes's point, through Tavares, hey, it's why you train. It's what you spent 6-8 weeks for in July and August.
Yeah.
And then to go through the bumps and bruises, to be ready this time of year, to get yourself ready and prepared to say, this is when it really counts here.
Cool.
Yes, all right. Sir.
And last thing quickly before I go, Leafs signed Luke Hames to a 2-year deal.
Hamesy.
Hames.
Big Hames fan.
Toronto Maple Leafs signed Luke Hames to a 2-year contract. 21-year-old, recently played for Dartmouth College in the NCAA, posted 12 goals and 6 assists through 22 games in a shortened season by injury. An Ottawa native, played 83 games with Dartmouth throughout his NCAA career, racking up 41 goals and 29 assists in that span.
Ooh, just about a goal every other game.
The center was named to the 2023-2024 NCAA All-Ivy League First Team and the NCAA ECAC First Team All-Star Team. So there you go.
Smart guy, Dartmouth.
So, just an easy way to stock, right? Stockpile assets.
It's one of the ways you can use your wealth and your
really, resources. Really easy and a must when you spend as much as the Leafs have the last five years.
Was he six? Was it six something or other? 6'2" and 200+ pounds, and he's a centerman. Okay,
and a very confident guy, right? Didn't he have that quote? I don't know. It was really confident quote. I can't recall it.
He is the guy. Yeah. I remember hearing this quote that he said.
Oh,
I'm gonna find it.
I don't know. I'm destined or I'm
destined.
Something.
Oh my
God. No. Don't quote me on that.
But Kipper, reporting.
It was in the ballpark of, I am very confident that
I'm gonna be a good NHL player.
I'm gonna be a very good NHL player.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, you lose Minton in the trade to Boston.
Yeah.
Trying to get more, you know, center depth in the organization can't hurt. And a lot of those prospects nerds that I follow on Twitter seem to think that he was a pretty big prize out of the college market. For all the Christian Hansons out there, there's a few Tyler Bozaks. So
yeah,
we'll see. Anyways, right. Just wanted to mention that. We should go.
We'll take a quick break. When we return, Charlie O'Connell from Philly Sports.
O'Connor.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, hey, sure.
Nailed it.
Is it Friday yet?
It's Tuesday.
All right, more on the Flyers when we return. It's a real Kipper.
Today's been a long week.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program as we get ready for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Philadelphia Flyers to battle Scotiabank Arena. Goaltending okay for you? Splitting back and forth between Wall and Stolarz?
Yeah, I don't see any reason to do anything but that, right? You know, Wall wasn't so good against Nashville. You have to keep him in. Who they got coming up here? San Jose in a couple days. So I'm sure we'll see Wall in that one.
And then back-to-back over the weekend in L.A. in Anaheim. So,
still plenty of time for one of them to go through a stretch where they get to anoint themselves the starter.
What's really tough is after that, Kip, there's like a pretty long period of time where there's just a game against Florida, a game against Columbus. After that, there's a back-to-back, then another back-to-back. So they're both going to play. The season ends at Buffalo versus Detroit over a 4-game span. Maybe you probably split those two. So I don't know that we're ever going to see one guy take the bulk of the load here. Right?
So if it kind of ends today.
Yeah.
You flip a coin.
It's you let real them decide. Close to coin flip territory.
But the good thing is, boys, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Well done.
All right. Thank you. Let's welcome in Charlie O'Connor, Philadelphia sports writer. Thanks for joining us, Charlie. How are you?
Doing well. How you doing, guys?
We're good. So what version are Leaf fans going to see out of the Philadelphia Flyers tonight? I know it's been a tough grind the last little while here, but there's always a sense here in Toronto that there's two or three guys that like to come home or feed off of the energy of the one of the biggest markets in the world.
You know, it's a really good question because obviously the Flyers have been struggling from a win-loss standpoint for quite a while now. The playoffs are basically an impossibility at this point, and they've certainly had to adjust to that. But I've been on this road trip with the team, and really, aside from Sunday's game against the Blackhawks, where they definitely slipped up defensively, they played a pretty poor game. They've been playing quite well on this road trip. They played really well in the first three games. They have trouble scoring, and that's just the reality of where they're at as a team. They obviously traded away a bunch of guys. They don't have the scoring depth they had before. A couple key guys like Owen Tippett are struggling offensively, but in terms of their overall play, they're playing a tight defensive game. They're checking hard. They're skating hard. They're playing with a lot of energy. So look, if you get the Flyers team from Sunday, the Leafs will blow that team out. If you get the Flyers team from the previous three games of this road trip, it could be a real tough game.
They had some difficult opponents, man. Dallas, Washington, Tampa Bay. That's a tough stretch for any team. So,
yeah, and they didn't win any of the games, but that doesn't mean that they didn't play well in those games, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's it's good that they're playing up to their opponents anyway. So inevitably, we're going to get to the Scott Laughton conversation, so we might as well just get to that right away. Leafs fans trying to figure out what it is they have got here in Laughton. I think he's been here for eight games and, you know, hasn't really had a ton of an opportunity and hasn't really shown a ton that he would deserve more. But Leafs fans want to know, what had you been seeing out of Scott Laughton before he came to Toronto?
I mean, I've covered Scott Laughton for, over a decade now, I guess. And I think in Laughton, I mean, you're getting truly one of the good guys in the game. And I do think over time that is going to manifest itself in results, you know, both on the team side and on the individual side. We obviously spoke with Laughton today. I published a feature story on him this afternoon, but he more or less admitted, and John Tortorella echoed this, that it's just been an adjustment period for him because he was kind of the guy in the Flyers room. He was the guy that everybody looked to in every key situation, not even in terms of on ice, but just in terms of, you know, when things would go wrong, everybody would return to Laughton in the room in between periods, after games, you know, before practice, and he would be the guy who would kind of guide the team. And I think with the Leafs, obviously, they have an existing leadership core. They have guys who have been through the ringer for years and years, and Laughton's the kind of guy who I don't think wants to step on anybody's toes, but even if he doesn't get it going in the regular season, I really think he's going to have an impact in the playoffs because his game fits that style, and I just think that, you know, he's the kind of guy where everybody's going to forget that he didn't score a point in his first eight games, you know, if he scores a big overtime goal in the first or second round, because in the end, I feel like that's what matters more to Leafs fans more so than winning a game in late March.
So if the numbers, you know, the stats really aren't that surprising to you for Scott Laughton in eight games, would the fact be that he's averaged 12 minutes, 12 and a half minutes, would that surprise you eight games ago?
I mean, he's gone through stretches in Philly where he's not gotten a ton of minutes. And I think one of the strengths of Laughton in particular is that he has experience still finding ways to produce even when he's not getting a ton of minutes. There were stretches where he was, you know, used in a fourth line role for weeks, for months in Philadelphia, and he still found ways to chip in on the score sheet. Now, that said, he also still had a major role on the penalty kill, and he would get a lot of minutes there. He was part of a great shorthanded threat duo with Travis Konechny for the past couple years. So that definitely allowed him to stay in the game. But again, I think he's the kind of guy where, you know, a lot of times you can trade for a guy at the deadline who, you know, maybe on a bad team was getting second line minutes, and then you use him on your fourth line and he has no idea how to adjust. I think Laughton is the kind of guy where, you know, he knows how to find a way to have an impact, even if he's only getting 10, 11 minutes a night. And I think that will eventually, when he starts to settle in, that will be a benefit for the Leafs come playoff time.
Now, Craig Berube would have coached him before in Philly. Was there anything remarkable about their dynamic in the past, or they always seemed like they got along fine?
Yeah, I mean, Lawton has been such a different guy than he was when Craig Berube was around. Mm. You know, one thing, and I think from my perspective, you know, I kind of, you know, covered him for so long, and I've watched him change. When he got drafted, he was viewed as more of like a scorer type. He was a first-round pick. He scored in the OHL a fair amount. And he tried to be that guy in the NHL, and the Flyers eventually came to the decision that that was just not who he was going to be at the NHL level, and they actually sent him down to the minors for a full season, basically to recalibrate and to kind of change his mentality into more of a bottom sixer. And to his credit, he did it. He recalibrated. He you know, swallowed his pride and turned himself into a heck of a role player. So I think, you know, yeah, Berube liked him back then, but it really wasn't even the same guy, because that was still the kid who thought he could be a top six forward, point per game guy. And this version of Scott Laughton is just so different, so much more mature, and so much more, you know, confident in his ability to, you know, to be important, even if he's not scoring every night, that it's hard to even make the comparison.
You're listening to Charlie O'Connor from Philly Sports, talking Philadelphia Flyers. So we go national in a few minutes here, and we have a Vancouver audience, but you don't have to worry about that now, so you can let us know whether or not you are responsible for the Rick Tocchet back to Philadelphia rumors.
I am definitely not responsible for those, but look, as you guys have, I'm sure, you know, you hear them. Now the Flyers obviously have John Tortorella as their head coach. He's under contract for another year. That said, John Tortorella is, you know, in the back half of his 60s. There's long been talk that at some point he may go up to the front office. And Rick Tocchet's a former Flyer. He's a legendary former Flyer. He's in the Flyers Hall of Fame. He's best buds with Keith Jones, who's the president of hockey operations. So if Rick Tocchet were to become available, would the Flyers have a conversation about it? I'm sure they would. That said, I really haven't heard much to tell me that they're itching to push Tortorella out at the moment. Now, maybe that changes at the end of the year, but look, Tocchet's intriguing to them. That said, Craig Berube was intriguing to them last season, and they didn't make a jump for that. Obviously, now the Leafs have him as their head coach, but he was another guy who Keith Jones is very close with, another former Flyer with a lot of ties to the, you know, to the Philadelphia front office, Philadelphia organization. So just because Tocchet has all those connections doesn't mean that it's a certainty by any means. If he's available, though, if he parts ways with Vancouver, I'm sure the Flyers will have that discussion.
Mm-hmm. So the Flyers feel like one of the few teams where they have a plan and everything seems to be going according to plan. They have 7 picks in the first 2 rounds of this upcoming draft, which I don't even know what to say about that. That's rather absurd. I think you would agree. So what then is the next step for them? How do they get from where they're at? Like, they need Michkov to become a superstar. Is he on track? Where are they in this overall arc to the next Stanley Cup contending team?
Well, I think they would tell you, and I've certainly written about this enough over the last few years, they need more high-end players. Now Michkov, I do believe, is going to be one of them. I think he's obviously not there yet, but he's having, you know, a really promising rookie year, and it's not even like he's been getting a ton of, you know, cushy usage the way that some of the other rookies get, because John Tortorella is his head coach, and he's pushing him hard, and he's, you know, benching him for periods and scratching him for games. He's getting the full Tortorella treatment. But I think in the long term, Michkov is going to be a high-end player. That said, you can't win with just one high-end player. You need multiple guys. And they're going to need to go out. They're going to need to probably draft a couple. You know, they're probably going to have a top 10, if not top 5 pick in this year's draft. They probably need to nail that pick. They're going to need to you know, pull a Tampa, where you get a couple guys in non-prime draft position that turn into stars. And they're going to need to make some shrewd trades. They've talked about free agency as an option, but tough to find stars in free agency, and they don't really have the cap space yet to do it. So Danny Briere is going to need to work some magic on the trade market. They're going to need to draft well, but I do think Michkov is a really good start. It's just, that's not the end. They need more.
Charlie, just one more quick one for me. And we had Daniel Briere on earlier in the year, and he was like, no bones about it. Like, we're not ready. We're trading at the deadline. We're not trading four.
He said that when they were in a playoff spot.
Like, yeah. And like, we were kind of like, wow, that's really refreshing. You don't really get that. And I'm just wondering, for that Philly market that we've known them since the Bobby Clark days, did it work? Is it okay? Would it have been better if he disguised it more around, let's try to make a playoff spot, let's try to win as many games as we can? Or is Philly fans, Flyer fans, in a good place right now?
Well, I mean, this year's been tough because last year they were competing in the playoff picture until game 82. This year they've taken a step back. So that's been hard on the fans. But I think the one thing that Breer has going for him is just how kicked off fans were before Breer took over. Fans were ready to tear the whole thing down. That was, you know, when you had former GM Chuck Fletcher getting booed at a town hall meeting, when Rangers fans invaded the Wells Fargo Center and took it over and were, you know, basically making it seem like it was a Rangers home game after the Rangers won in overtime. Fans were livid. And Breer came in and said, I'm going to rebuild. We're going to start over. We're going to do it the patient way. And I think because things were so bad, fans were more willing to accept that than they would have been otherwise. Now, how much longer do they have before fans start getting impatient? Look, there are impatient fans now. There are fans that want to see the Flyers go out in free agency and, you know, make a big trade immediately for a guy who's 30 years old but a high-end player. I do think most of the fans are still on board. How long that holds, I guess we'll see. I think at the very least, they're going to give him the end of this season and this offseason. Now, if they don't do anything interesting this offseason, next year might get tough for him. But for now, I think the fans are still on board with the long-term plan and the idea of sticking to this rebuild, this patient approach.
Charlie, great stuff, man. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie O'Connor.
You know, I've always been of the belief that, like, you take, they had 7 picks in the first 2 rounds this year.
Trade.
If they traded all 7 of those and brought back 3 really good players, mm-hmm. like, is that, are you not ahead
you don't have
of
to
just drafting 7 guys and going like this?
You don't even have to trade all of them. Trade 4 of them.
Right.
And you have 3 good players on your team.
Yeah. Curious to see how aggressive they get about turning this thing around. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm curious to see how good this Mishkov gets.
Yeah. I think it's the best thing for him to have toys as a coach.
He's not a dynamic skater. Yeah. He's not a guy. He can work great in short areas. He's got a flair for the net. I get all of that. But superstar, I'm not sure yet.
Boy, 50 points in 70 games as a rookie is pretty good.
No, it is.
With multiple healthy scratches in there.
Yeah.
Getting benched.
I see your point, you know.
You can't get over the Lindros comparisons.
He's 5'10", 170.
Of the year pissed you off with
that. No, it didn't piss me off. It's
Kipper,
just,
you've mentioned it like 3 times.
I just thought it was ridiculous.
Yes.
That's all.
I'm not mad.
And I mean, do those numbers get better for Mishkov when he gets more help? Is he like Connor Bedard a little bit right now, going, looking around the room, going, I could use a UFA right now.
Yeah, I'm sure there's certainly a part of that.
Connor Bedard scored his 20th goal. He's having a great year.
20 snipes, baby. I think that's exactly how many Mishkov has, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 20 goals.
You do forget that Connor Bedard was born in the year of 2005.
What?
He's just a baby.
He's a young man.
Yeah, he should be playing in a U-something league at that age.
Yeah, he scored his 25.
These guys need 38. They need great players around him.
They do. The Philly thing is interesting in terms of, like, patience, how long. Because they haven't really been a cup-contending threat for a while.
Yeah.
So to only now feel like they're,
trading Giroux to the Panthers. That was, like, the tail end of the last time they were, like, good.
And also they have 3 long contracts on the book. Couturier, Tippett, Konechny. Couturier and Tippett as guys you want till 2030.
I like Tippett a lot too.
I do too. He scores 20 to 30 goals a year. He just scores 20. Yep.
Fast.
All right.
One of the fastest.
Our thanks to Charlie O'Connor, Philly Sports.
Very good.
We're going to take a quick break. You got anything to say, Sammy?
Oh, no.
We got anything coming up tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, we got Valakat coming up at 5.
No, tomorrow though. You want to plug a leaf line? The calls in too early for that?
Kipper, it's Tuesday again, buddy. But Friday's
all
four
I know.
Away.
All I know is I'm going to get you to change that jersey.
Yes.
Steve Aliquette when we return. The Real Kipper and Bourne.